I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step in any revolution. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I.
This is the Quality News Network. According to the Justice Department, the FBI improperly and, in some cases, illegally used the Patriot Act to secretly obtain personal information about people in the United States. The report says the agency forces telecommunication and banking companies to turn over private information much more often than it admits. President Bush signed an agreement on the production of ethanol with Brazil's president today. The agreement encourages increased production and development of standards of ethanol. At a press conference, Bush said increasing alternative fuel use will lead to more jobs, a cleaner environment, and greater independence from the oil market. In Brazil, nearly 8 in 10 new cars already run on fuel made from sugarcane. President Bush's troop surge in Iraq may be bigger and more expensive than he stated in January. According to the Associated Press, the number of support troops needed for the surge has more than doubled to 7,000. The original price tag of $5.6 billion has been increased by an additional $1 billion. President Bush says he'll veto any congressional legislation setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops in Iraq. Two Democratic proposals have been introduced in the House, both setting deadlines for the troops to come home. In Guantanamo Bay, military hearings began today for 14 terrorist suspects, including the man authorities say masterminded the 9/11 attacks. The suspects were moved to the Cuban prison from secret CIA jails overseas. The press is forbidden to witness the trials. Braving suicide bombers, snipers, and mortar bombardments from Sunni extremists, around 2.5 million Shiite pilgrims have arrived in the Iraqi holy city of Karbala to take part in 2 days of annual religious ceremonies. Potential Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich is admitting to having an extramarital affair while leading the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton for having an extramarital affair with Monica Lewinsky. The former Speaker of the House acknowledged the indiscretion during an interview with James Dobson on his Focus on the Family radio show. Law enforcement statistics indicate the rate of murder and other violent crime has climbed 10% in many large American cities within the last 2 years. Congress has been asked for $200 million next year to fight gang violence, illegal drug use, and gun crime. Daylight savings time begins this Sunday morning at 2 a.m. Remembering to spring forward, however, isn't going to be as hard for you as it will be for your computer. Most computers were programmed to make the switch before Congress changed the decades-old law on time. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, next.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his Letters Home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
More rain in California could mean more earthquakes there. Scientists at the U.S. Geological Survey studied the relationship between large amounts of rainfall and the prevalence of earthquakes on the San Andreas Fault after about 5 months. They contend that the weight of the rainwater seeping into the ground causes the water table to rise, putting stress on earthquake faults deep in the Earth's crust. The result? More earthquakes. For the first time in Asia, a baby elephant has been born using artificial insemination. Veterinarians in Thailand say the 220-pound male calf and his mother are doing fine. The U.S. unemployment rate dropped to 4.5% in February, even as big losses of construction and factory jobs held back overall payroll growth. Wages grew briskly. Forbes magazine's annual ranking of the wealthy say there are 946 billionaires in the world and their combined wealth increased 35% in the past year. With a total worth of $56 billion, Microsoft founder Bill Gates is the wealthiest person in the world. Louisiana's insurance commissioner has ordered Allstate to reinstate policies from 4,700 homeowners. Allstate canceled the policies in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.05 a barrel. And on the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 16 points, the NASDAQ was flat, and the S&P 500 was also flat. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Okay! Don't you
stop America!
I'll tell you!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, you know, I I'm a little drained from last night. That was a pretty emotional experience, but I'm glad to be back with you. Glad to have you along for the ride, and anxious to see what it is you want to talk about this evening. About 6.5 minutes after the hour. And, it's got to be a Friday, because we are absolutely swamped under a news dump. Okay, the crackhead Washington press corps is about 4 martinis and 3 pipes of crack in, so I guess it's time to let the story out about, the FBI. Do you remember? I remember. I remember back when the Patriot Act was passed, and I remember how all us squishy liberals... Oh, I'm sorry, that's idiot liberals, Congressman OB. I remember how all us idiot liberals said, you know, I just don't trust the Bush administration with something as powerful as the Patriot Act. And then when the Patriot Act was going to be renewed, all us idiot liberals said, you know... This national security letter thing where the person who's being investigated can't be told and the person who's having to turn over the records isn't allowed to say anything and nobody can test it with a judge and nobody can see if it's being used properly or move to quash it, you know, this doesn't sound like... This is rife for abuse. I remember all that. Do you remember all that? And I remember how the right wing treated it and treated us, as usual, with utter contempt and disdain. Oh, you're a bunch of liberals who love the terrorists. You want to see America destroyed by the terrorists. We need to be able to get their gambling records and the records from the used car dealers where they're probably buying Chevrolet Cavaliers to use as car bombs, and that's what the national security letter is for, and you're just overreacting because you're liberals, and, and that's what liberals do. Yeah, I remember that from life support system for a cheap haircut, Hannity, to Flush, to Savage, to O'Reilly, the whole stinking, sordid, America-hating fascist crowd of them, crowing about how the FBI had to have the national security letter in order to fight the war on terror. Well, how about this? From the Friday News Dump and Brian Ross at ABC News, the FBI repeatedly failed to follow the strict guidelines of the Patriot Act when its agents took advantage of a new provision allowing the FBI to obtain phone and financial records without a court order, according to a report to be made public Friday by the Justice Department's Inspector General. The report in classified and unclassified versions remains closely held, but Washington officials who've seen it tell ABC News it documents numerous lapses and describe it as scathing and not a pretty picture for the FBI. Well, it came out today, all right. Oh, yes, Brian Ross, it came out today. And Attorney General Gonzalez said he was shocked to find out that the FBI was abusing the Patriot Act just as the law had been written to be abused, and that we need safeguards. Well, geez, duh, you think? Wasn't it safeguards that all us idiot liberals were hollering about a couple of years ago? Wasn't that what we wanted? Didn't we suggest that maybe somebody ought to have to go before a judge before you get... Because it's a subpoena! For all intents and purposes, it's a delightful little hybrid between a search warrant and a subpoena ducis tecum. And most usually, some court has a hand in the issuing of subpoenas and search warrants. But, you know, here you've got the FBI run amok, and, you know, they can't, they're not sure how many times it got abused. Last year, the Justice Department said there were 9,254 national security letter requests on 3,501 persons on calendar year 2005. Some officials say the actual number is substantially higher. You know, I think he's getting it on with my old lady, said FBI agent Fred. I'm going to drop a little national security letter action on him and just find out what he's up to. Because I don't like him running around with my old lady the way he is. I mean, that's the kind of abuse you get. Or maybe, you know, maybe somebody in another office sort of got in your way, so you drop a national security letter on them. No, I remember what... the right said about all us idiot liberals who were concerned that a right-wing FBI run by a right-wing Justice Department headed by a right-wing White House might do with that kind of incredible power. Yeah, you know, I do remember that. And, of course, FBI Director Robert Mueller appeared before Congress today. And he said mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. So, what do you think? You think the Congress will do something about this? Do you hope the Congress will do something about this? I don't know if it'll make it through the weekend, because it could, you know, some Hollywood B movie actress might OD over the weekend, and then that the story's dead and gone, and we'll never hear another word of it, and you know, nobody'll Because it's no big deal. It's just the FBI spying on us again. You know, there are some, well, could we at least ask for the summary dismissal of any FBI agent who was found to have abused the NSLs? Just no questions asked. Clean out your desk. You got 30 minutes. You know, hand us the gun, give us the shield, and go. Because really, someone who thinks that little of the law really doesn't need to be in law enforcement, do they? You know, maybe they can go and be a security guard at a car lot after hours or something, but they don't need to be FBI agents. No. Oh, I remember doing a show at the time and going over the list of things that were covered within the scope of a national security letter. It's credit card records, bank records, literally pawn shop, jewelry store, anything where money changes hands within the meaning of the national security letter qualifies as a financial transaction. So in that instance where maybe Agent Fred thinks the wife is a romping on him, just drop a national security letter to florist here, florist there around town, maybe a few jewelry stores. Find out if anything's been bought for, and who did the buying. And then go to work on the vendetta. Or maybe it's used for purposes of political persecution. Digging around on, you know, working through a Bush administration enemies list. Don't think for one minute that a national security letter hasn't been dropped on Joseph Wilson and Valerie Plame. Oh, come on. You know, we were born at night, not last night. Because that is the kind of sleaze that this administration wallows in with reckless abandon. So that begins our evening, and God knows it's not the end of it. Like I said, there was a news dump today. And we'll try to hit as much of it as possible. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. Jump right in, the conversation's fine. You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution, it's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism,
and that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts,
and will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
All right, 21, coming up on 22 minutes past the hour, and a quick reminder about the early return to daylight savings time coming up Saturday night, Sunday morning, you know, spring forward, fall back. Yeah, that's right, forward. Yeah, so you're going to lose an hour of sleep. And I don't know, we'll have to ask our IT professional if we're going to have to manually change the clocks on our computer system. So, and because the law was changed, what? The law was changed and nobody told Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. So the computer clocks won't automatically reset to daylight savings time until the normal time 3 weeks hence. Yeah, just, you know, another little blip, another little bump in the road of life in our high-tech society. But like I said, it's not just the abuses by the FBI. There are stories, just oodles of stories, all over the place. And this, you know, sort of dovetails with it. I think this a story from the Associated Press today: a videotape showing Pentagon officials' final interrogation of Al Qaeda suspect Jose Padilla is missing. You know, kind of like the 17 minutes on the White House tapes were missing back in the Nixon administration. Rosemary, would you come in here?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. President, I can't hear you. I'm erasing these tapes. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it's missing. Raising questions about whether federal prosecutors have lost other recordings and evidence in the case. Well, technically, no, they didn't lose it, unless you incorporate in the scope of losing evidence the active destruction of evidence. The tape is classified. But Padilla's attorneys said they believe something happened during that interrogation that it could explain why Padilla doesn't trust them and suspects they're government agents. Oh, like what? Being beaten about the head and shoulders? You know, maybe some brain injury? Or maybe it's the interrogators saying, you know, we're listening in on your conversations with your lawyer anyway. You may as well tell us. We've already heard it all. Pentagon attorney James Schmidty said, Your Honor, I don't know what happened to it. And U.S. District Judge Marsha Cook responded, "Do you understand how it might be difficult for me to understand that a tape related to this particular individual just got mislaid?" So apparently, Judge Marsha Cook isn't buying the crap either. Padilla's lawyers have asked for Brig tapes, medical records, details of incarceration, to prove the fact that he has been completely, mind-screwed? So, I don't know. I see those things going hand in hand. Gentlemen, how many national security letters have you issued? We've done some. Well, how many? A bunch. How many is in a bunch? More than a few. Exactly how many? Can't tell you. Well, who were you surveilling? Not sure. I mean, this is the Reagan defense as applied to the FBI.
Nancy, to the best of my knowledge, I can't recall if I have a recollection of whether I remember Mommy.
Crooked bastards. Golly, Ned. I mean, do you feel vindicated? I mean, us idiot liberals, we're batting pretty good right now. Let's see. We tried to warn the nation that George W. Bush was a bonehead. Got that one. Let's see. We tried to warn the nation that it might not be such a good thing to squander the surplus that was built during the Clinton administration. Got that one too, didn't we? What else did we do? Yeah, we tried to warn the nation that it might not be such a good idea to attack Iraq, seeing as how Iraq had never done anything to us and didn't have anything to do with 9/11, you know. And we were right about that one. And let's see, what else? We said that it was probably pretty dirty to have the government spying on its own citizens. Well, they're not spying on our own. They're just spying on terrorists. No. We were right about that one, too. Us idiot liberals, turns out, are pretty doggone sharp. How's about that? It's amazing what we're capable of. And all we did was use good old-fashioned American common sense. See, that's the thing. We're the common sense crowd. We took one look at what was going to go down in Iraq and knew. We knew we were going to create a crap storm. But meanwhile, because we're reality based, but the Tinkerbell fantasy crowd in the Republican Party said, "No, we're going to be welcomed as liberators." Liberators, I tell you. Not so much. So, are you an idiot liberal? I'm an idiot liberal. And I'm proud to be an idiot liberal. I hope you are, too, because you have been doing very, very well. You have seen most of this garbage coming from a long way off, and you have called it, you have pegged it, I mean, you've spotted it, and you have been vindicated time after time after time after time. You know, what do we say to the freepers and the conservatives? You know, you can just send your mea culpas and your apologies. I tell you what, take your mea culpas and your apologies and stick them where the sun doesn't shine. Okay, right-wingers? Okay, Republicans? Okay, freepers? Do that for us! Yeah, because... Yeah. Vindicated. That means we can tell them to go to hell. Frequently. Being as how they are, anyway. So, a little golf clap for you. Yay you! Oh, yay you! And we'll come back to your phone calls right after this break. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's liberal voice. I'm an idiot liberal. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
I'm trying to be less polite. I'm saying what I really think. The president's a fool, I don't want to get up early, and I wish I had a good stiff drink. I'm trying to be less polite. I want to call a spade I want to stop the war because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave. I'm trying to be less polite.
25 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob, and we're going straight to the phones. Our good buddy Sarge calls from down southern Mississippi way. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob, I got some news for you. Now, I told you earlier in the week that I would call Gene Taylor's office and find out why his vote on the Employees' Rights Act.
Employee Free Choice Act, yeah.
Right. Okay, they did get back with me, and I got an explanation, but it doesn't follow suit with what I understand.
Do I need to get the handy dandy liquor bottle?
Yeah, this could be a little bit. Yeah, but from what his staffer told me, that he voted against the bill because in paragraph 2 it denies the workers a right to vote in a secret ballot on who their officials are in business.
Sons of bitches. Sons of bitches. Oh, my goodness.
So that's
straight out of the right-wing talking points. We were discussing that, I think, just last night, Sarge.
Well, that's...
It denies workers the right to a secret ballot. Well, you know what? The card check is a secret ballot. It's a secret paper ballot.
Correct. And so, you know, in other words, I would say that was a... you do this, you vote this way for me on this one, and I'll help you out on this deal. That's pretty much what I think it boils down to. And I've also found out that there's a lot of weird stuff going on with the money here. I found out today there's a group called ECD Hope. It's a credit union or a loaning company up in the Mississippi Delta, which is the poorest part of the state.
Yeah.
And they, on their website, they have a claim that they and 5 faith-based organizations have teamed together, and they've got $65,000 in grants that they're going to use for the Mississippi, Louisiana, Hurricane Katrina-stricken area. $65,000, Bob, and this company has been getting an overwhelming amount of the grant money.
And people in the Delta are what, eating Bibles?
Yeah, and this is for Katrina on the coast.
Yeah,
and this is the poorest area. In fact, most of the 14 counties in Mississippi that rank in the top 100 poorest counties in the nation are located in the Mississippi Delta. And these are the same bigots. And this is one of the most racially divided areas in the state. And these are the ones who are deciding who gets loans and who doesn't, and they require that they go through a credit counseling program, and if I'm not mistaken, a program sponsored by none other than ECD Hope.
Heavens to Betsy. There's no let-up in this, is there?
No, there isn't.
The swine don't just have the front feet in the trough. They've got the back trotters too, don't they?
Oh, it gets dirtier and dirtier every time I turn around. And a person like Jim Yancey, who's actually doing something, they're going to get frozen out of these funds. It is all political, and if they don't want to play the political ball game, they're going to find themselves on the short end of the funding.
Yeah, so basically Jim would have to get on his knees and crawl backwards, repeating 96 dozen Hail Marys to even begin to try to get any of the money, and he still won't.
Right. It's going to cronies. This is Haley Barbour's and George W. Bush's administration's doing this crap. And so, I think this really needs to be gotten out. There's a There's even more I've uncovered, but I'm not going to get into that because someone else is going to tell you about it later. But also, I found out something that was rather interesting as well, and accidentally found this out, and I'm not going to be able to pursue it for a while. But there is a program here in Mississippi called ACTS, A-C-T-S. ACTS program is for prisoners. They can get out on house arrest, but what they have to do is they have to go to a certain church. In Columbia, this church happens to be Pentecostal. And that's the only church they can go to. It doesn't matter what their religion is or even if they have a religion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all right, Warden. I'll spend another couple of years in the stir. I'd just as soon not handle snakes.
But this is one they have to go to, and they have no choice about it. It was asked, can we go to another area church at the same time? And they said, no, you go to this one or you're out of the program.
Just charming. Charming.
So, you know, don't you just love the way these people govern? I mean, now they're forcing religion down your throat.
Well, but are we surprised? I mean, I'd like to sit here and say, you know, this is outrageous, this is disgusting, blah, 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 blah. But it's just more of the same. There's no let up in this. There's no end to the outrage. There's no end to the shamelessness of it.
Every time I turn around, I'm finding something new that's just adding to the problems on the Mississippi coast and then nationally as well. But then they're turning around and playing this holier than thou crap by making people accept certain churches whether they want to or not. You can be a Jew and you still have to go to this church. You can be a Catholic and you have to go to this church. It doesn't matter. You will go to this church because this church is the one funding the program. It's privatized.
But no, there's some government money flowing their way somewhere out of
there. Sure,
they're
not
doing
it. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I quit falling for that kind of stuff about the first couple of times I threw darts at the balloons on the Carnival Midway.
Yeah, it's like that $65,000 that this corporation's going to be distributing between the stricken areas, and there's five faith-based groups within them, and so that boils down to what, less than $11,000 a piece for each organization? Oh, come on. $11,000 by the time they take operating costs out of it, what's that going to amount to? $2 each? So, you know, this is crazy, man, and it needs to be.
In 5 or 6 years from now, we'll find out how much waste was involved with this, Sarge. We'll find out that no good was done for any inmates. We'll find out that the preacher got caught rifling through the church secretary's drawers, and you know, and we'll be vindicated again. That's the thing. We are right. We are correct about these things. We spot them from a mile off, Sarge. And you know, it's obvious that we should probably be listened to more than the freakish conservatives by a long shot. But as I've just been reminded by a listener who says, trenchant as we may be, we haven't stopped the carnage. Could you try to stop being so self-liberal congratulatory and keep people's brains trained on the fact that the Democrats, too, are selling us down the river, continuing the carnage for political gains, please? You know, there's
that's why we got to pick up our telephones and emails and do everything we possibly can. Get out and protest. Join the march coming on the 17th and going down here and terminating on the 31st. I mean, we've got to do these things. We got to get off our butts and get into the ball game, because pretty soon there may not be a game going on.
Yeah, but after all, the game we're playing, they keep changing the rules on.
That's right. Well, Bob,
we get four outs.
yeah, and y'all don't get a bat until we are way ahead.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you go, Bob. I just wanted to check in and let you know what I'd found out.
Well, thanks for checking that out with Congressman Taylor's office. I'm not in the least surprised.
Me either. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And let's just recap that, just because I love closing the circle on a story. Last week, the House voted on the Employee Free Choice Act, which, quite frankly, is the single most important piece of not labor legislation but social legislation, legislation for the good of the nation. That's come down the pike in 50 years, maybe 100. And two Democrats, one a representative from the largely Indian counties of Oklahoma, and Congressman Gene Taylor from Mississippi, voted against it. At a time when we needed party unity in the worst way, they voted against it. And I queried why in heaven's name you would vote it. And subsequent to that, as I said the other night, I was out for a few minutes, and I heard that freak Lars Larson with some equally freakish right-wing goober from the Georgia congressman. And he said, "You know, Lars, the problem with this here Employee Free Choice Act is that it deprives the worker of his inalienable right to a secret ballot. Because, you know, if the union finds out you voted against the union, they'll come and break your kneecaps." Which is just so much garbage. And as it turns out, though, I guess this is just a little too complicated for Congressman Taylor, who's voted the right way on quite a number of things. But this was too complicated for him. Because, you see, the card check is a secret ballot. When the cards are counted, and, you know, and all they do is report back a percentage. "Now, boss, we got 60% of the workforce signed up. Well, you know, welcome to a union shop." Or, "We only got 45%. That's it. No strings attached. I don't see how a ballot could get any more secret than that. But these people are desperate to keep keep the screws to working people, so that eventually, as far as the right wing and so-called conservatives, Democrat and Republican alike, so that they can keep the screws on what's left of our middle class. Charming, ain't it? Let's take a break. When we come back, I'll throw a dart at the wall and see which particular bit of outrage comes next. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability,
accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Fred, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
D-Ball! Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's napkins in the bathroom, just below the stairs.
Okay, I have a confession to make. That's one of those songs that has a phrase in it that I'm not sure if. I'm kind of dippy. That great the queen of mumbly rock, Stevie Nicks. At one point, I thought she was singing just like a one-winged dove. Yeah, I did, and I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can straighten it. Is he saying there's matches in the bathroom just below the stairs, or there's Nazis in the bathroom just below the stairs? I prefer to think it's Nazis, but I'm a very 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 simple person. I shared this email during our conversation with Sarge a few minutes ago, and I want to reread it to you because it's got meaning. And of course, I can't do the all caps and the great big 24-point font. Trenchant as we may be, Bob, we haven't stopped the carnage. Could you try to stop being so self-liberal congratulatory and keep people's brains trained on the fact that the Democrats, too, are selling us down the river? Continuing the carnage for political gains, please? And I suppose I can, and I suppose that is the heart and soul. Thanks, Billy Shears. Yep, Nazis. I know people who keep matches in the bathroom. But, yeah, good, it's Nazis. This is the crux of the whole David Obey thing. And, you know, he's been in Congress since 1969, so he remembers the last big military screw-up. Well, last, if you don't count Grenada and Panama and Kosovo and Greater Serbia and the first Gulf War that got started because the Bush administration told April Glaspie to tell Saddam that we didn't take a position in Arab-Arab conflicts. But this is the crux of it. Now, me, given my druthers, I didn't want the damn war to start. It will remain a blot, a slur, a besmirchment on our national identity and our national character for as long as this nation exists. But start it, by God, they did. And they didn't listen to Congressman Kucinich. And they didn't listen to the others who were fighting against the starting of the war. And they started it anyway. And now that there is a plan out there to end this thing by 2008, it is still not enough for some folks. It is not enough for me. And I'm very, very conflicted. In the David Obey video that was put out, and the audio is not very good at all. He makes it clear we don't have the votes. We don't have the votes. We don't have the votes. Well, there's a reason they don't have the votes. They don't have the votes because the people of the United States are not quite sick enough of this war yet. And they're not quite sick enough of what this war is doing to them. None of my family's over there. It's not doing anything to me. The hell it's not. It's doing things to you, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors' kids and grandkids, aunts, uncles, nieces, cousins, because it is pauperizing this nation. But some Americans tend to think that just because they can still afford to go to the gas tanks and pay what is now $3 a gallon gasoline again, that it's not doing anything to them. And that this is just some mild discomfort. Well, as the late, great Hunter S. Thompson used to say, the hogs are in the tunnel. And they are traveling on a road of bones. The day of reckoning comes. And the fact that we can't end this war right now is expressly a function of the fact that we have not put sufficient pressure on the members of Congress to make them do it. And I mean, you know, there's only so many Democrats. And it's not, and we don't have a veto-proof majority. So that puts the onus on us to contact Republicans and Democrats alike and press them, end it now. End it now. Out of Iraq now. And now it's time for the news, and we'll be back. You're listening to The Horn, America's liberal voice, I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush signed an agreement on the production of ethanol with Brazil's president today. The agreement encourages increased production and development of standards of ethanol. At a press conference, Bush said increasing alternative fuel use will lead to more jobs, a cleaner environment, and greater independence from oil markets. According to the Justice Department, the FBI improperly and in some cases illegally used the Patriot Act to secretly obtain information about people in the U.S. The report says the agency forces telecommunication and banking companies to turn over private information much more often than it admits. President Bush's troop surge in Iraq may be bigger and more expensive than he stated in January. According to the Associated Press, the number of support troops needed for the surge has more than doubled to 7,000. In Guantanamo Bay, closed military hearings began today for 14 suspected terrorists, including the man authorities say masterminded the 9/11 attacks. The suspects were moved to the Cuban prison from secret CIA jails overseas. And President Bush says he'll veto any congressional legislation setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Two Democratic proposals have been introduced already in the House requiring just that. Braving suicide bombers, snipers, and mortar attacks from Sunni extremists, around 2.5 million Shiite pilgrims have arrived in the Iraqi holy city of Karbala. They're there to take part in 2 days of annual religious ceremonies. Potential Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich is admitting to having an extramarital affair while leading the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton for his affair with Monica Lewinsky. The former Speaker of the House acknowledged the indiscretion during an interview with James Dobson on his Focus on the Family radio show. Law enforcement statistics indicate the rate of murder and other violent crime has climbed 10% in many large American cities within the last 2 years. Daylight savings, you know it's been moved up. It begins this Sunday morning at 2 a.m. Springing forward, however, isn't going to be as hard for you as it will be for your computer. Most computers were programmed to make that switch before Congress moved up the date for the time change. You're listening to Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
Meeting in Brussels, EU leaders have agreed on a number of measures to fight global warming, specifically pledging to cut carbon dioxide emissions 20% by the year 2020. No consensus, however, was reached for mandatory use of renewable energy sources. And more rain in California could mean more earthquakes there. Scientists at the U.S. Geological Survey studied the relationship between large amounts of rainfall and the prevalence of quakes 5 months later on the San Andreas Fault. They say the rainwater seeping into the ground causes the water table to rise, putting stress on earthquake faults deep in the Earth's crust. The result? More earthquakes. For the first time in Asia, a baby elephant's been born using artificial insemination. Veterinarians in Thailand say the 220-pound male calf and his mother are both doing fine. And the U.S. Employment unemployment rate dropped to 4.5% in February, even as big losses of construction and factory jobs held back overall payroll growth. Forbes magazine's annual ranking of the wealthy say there are 946 billionaires in the world. Bill Gates of Microsoft tops that list. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.05 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 6, the NASDAQ and the S&P were both flat. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, maybe it's because I'm a jerk. But am I the only one that's a little bit peeved by the fact that we count the damn billionaires, but we're not exactly sure how many starving people there are on planet Earth?
Well, they're easier to count the billionaires, Bob.
That just struck me. Just say it. But maybe if we counted, if we bothered to, well, you know, they're dying too fast, Bob. Hard to get a good count. And then you got to go with one starving person, two, go start all over. One starving person, two starving people, three starving people, four starving, oh, number two died. One starving person, two starving people, three starving people. And I've got this mental image of the artificial insemination of an elephant going through my head, and I just don't like it. But no, moving on. You see, can you imagine what it's like to have to live with my brain? I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, oh, it's a good brain, it's a big brain, it's a smart brain. No, it's a twisted brain. And this kind of stuff just rains on my little cortex all day long without let up. No, but just in case you thought for some silly reason that just because they were in the minority, the Republicans were going to stop being total horses' rear ends. Now, that's being kind of rough on the horses, isn't it? Let me disabuse you of that. I'm sure some of you have already seen and or heard about this. But when it comes to being just a jackass, you can't beat somebody like Phil Gingrey, not Newt Gingrene, Phil Gingrey of Georgia. Now, there's almost consensus in the Congress of the United States that what was going on at Walter Reed, Building 18, was a horror, was disgusting, was a national shame. But not Phil Gingrey. Because being a Republican, Phil Gingrey hates the troops. So, in a hearing yesterday, Gingrey tried to blame, well, no, just listen to him. Agnes, you got it handy? Hit it.
I want to say for the record, Mr. Chairman, that I have been to Building 18. I have been to Walter Reed on a number of occasions, but specifically in regard to this issue, went to take a look firsthand. Having grown up in a motel when I was going to medical school and living in one of the rooms, when I saw this old Walter Reed motor inn, it really reminded me a lot, Mr. Chairman, of the motel that my parents had in Augusta, Georgia. It's not a five-star hotel, make no mistake about it, but it's not a flop house. It's not a dump. It's not a dive. Well, it needs some work, no question about it. I'm not making excuses, of course, and when I read the Washington Post report, I was glad to know that those cockroaches were belly up. It suggested to me that at least somebody was spraying for them, Mr. Chairman.
Agnes,
of course,
pause,
you
please.
In a motel.
Okay, let's just work. There's a whole bunch. I hope that's paused because I don't want to hear that ever again. We'll hear the rest of it, but I want to. So Phil Gingrey is telling us that he grew up in a dive-like Building 18. Oh, no, he says it's not a dive. And he's glad to know that those cockroaches were belly up. It suggested to me that at least someone was spraying for them, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, these... How daggum dumb are they, or do they think that we are? I know, I keep asking that question, because every time I turn around, I'm having another reason to be asking it. I was glad to know those cockroaches were belly up. Well, you SOB Phil Gingrey, you, they died of old age! Or maybe, you know, sometime after you read the Washington Post articles, somebody did go in and spray for them. But this is the cheapest, most sickening form of after-the-fact justification. Well, see, we are spraying toxic poison in there to kill them cockroaches. That's why they's dead. Daggum. Is there anybody in America that falls for this crap? This garbage, this unmitigated, mendacious... lying. Okay, we'll go back. Come on, because the best is yet to come. We're not done. Agnes, hit it. Okay.
I want to say for the record that I have been to Building 18. I have been to Walter Reed on a number of occasions, but specifically in regard to this issue, went to take a look firsthand. Having grown up in a motel when I was going to medical school and living in one of the rooms, when I saw this old Walter Reed Motor Inn, it really reminded me a lot, Mr. Chairman, of the motel that my parents had in Augusta, Georgia. It's not a five-star hotel, make no mistake about it, but it's not a flop house. It's not a dump. It's not a dive. Well, it needs some work, no question about it. I'm not making excuses, of course, and when I read the Washington Post report, I was glad to know that those cockroaches were belly up. It suggested to me that at least somebody was spraying for them, Mr. Chairman. And, of course, if you leave food around in a motel room or a dorm room at a college, you're going to get some mice show up at some point in time. But there's no question that there's a problem. I've heard some of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle suggest that specific heads should roll. I don't know that I was a little bit shocked, quite honestly, that the Secretary of the Army was relieved of his command, and the commander at Walter Reed, General Waitman, was relieved of his command, and a change has been made there. I don't know what comes next, but I would guess if you ask, since General Schumacher has had to recuse himself, ask the Washington Post whose head should roll, I think it probably would be the commander-in-chief would be the only satisfaction, and that would be President Bush. But here again, you know, let's try to take the politics aside and some of the rhetoric and try to solve the problem.
Feel free to throw anything that you have laying around. Just don't hit the computer and don't hurt your speakers. That's right. It's the Washington Post's fault. Yes, it's the Washington Post's fault. Because they hate George Bush. Oh, yeah, this is just charming. If you leave food around in a motel room or a dorm room at a college, you're going to get some mice show up at some point in time. After all, you know, just because there's double amputees and so forth don't mean that they can't get up and walk over and throw away their food that was laying around. They're leaving left food laying around, and it's going to attract some mice. Stumpy, get up and get over there and throw out that old pizza box. Jeez. This is speechless stuff. blame the troops, blame the liberal media, and while we're at it, blame the liberals, because this isn't about troop welfare. This is about trying to embarrass George Bush. They're going after our dear commander-in-chief. Holy cats. Just astonishing. Somebody help me out. I don't have the time to... Who does this guy represent? Does this guy represent, you know, that place, that part of Georgia that they used to film Deliverance? I mean, is his constituency just exclusively big ears, buggy eyes, and banjos? Old dude got a pretty mouth. Squeal like a pig. Clean up that pizza box. Quit leaving that food lying around. It's going to attract some mice. Daggone food laid out so long the cockroaches ate it and it went belly up. You know, sometimes I go on about how I love the South. But Lord God, Billy Bob, can't we turn out some, I mean, surefire A1, grade A, USDA prime idiots? Yeah, the Washington Post published this because they want to get at George Bush. Sometimes you just kind of got to shake your head and... Yeah. Let's go. We'll take a break. And we'll come back and do some phone calls. 877-443-2366 is the number. 877, the numeral 4, head on. You're all kinds of welcome to join in on the conversation here on America's Liberal Voice, The Horn. We'll be back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
In recognition of our local scout troops,
recognizing Mrs. Wiley's efforts to rebuild our...
The award for best effort goes to...
It's important to reward good work. That's why the new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers who practice good stewardship. The Conservation Security Program rewards the best and motivates the rest. This message is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Natural Resources Conservation Service.
Chat room over in the headonradionetwork.com chat room, our good friend Lottie just pointed out he said Republicans are a subhuman species that buds off of slime molds. May I remind you that there were new species of slime molds that were discovered a couple of years ago and were named after Bush and Cheney? Yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of fun in the chat room. If you've never gone by, please do. You'll enjoy it immensely. Let's go to the phones. Phil is calling from Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I looked up this Gingrey fella, and I've seen him before on C-SPAN. You know what? These guys are basically cartoons, you know. They are so ridiculous. They're cartoonish. And here's another fella that was of draft age during Vietnam and didn't go, but seems like they're the ones who always got something to say, you know, the tough talkers and
they're like, you're right. They're cartoon. They're like Foghorn Leghorn on angel dust.
Yeah. Boy, there's a visual for you, huh? But, you know, Bob, you mentioned Gingrey, saying that's just folks wanting to go after George Bush. And I think that's the answer. We should be going after George Bush for deliberately and without a doubt, as Cheney would say, lying this country into about weapons of mass destruction to start this war. I think we have to redirect our focus on that and say we ain't going to have it. I mean, you got the Downing Street memo, the White House memo, the CIA leak, which a lot of this stuff came up again, and you know, Project for a New American Century, all those guys with their pre-9/11 plans, and actually they were the ones who made it into the White House and Defense Department, State Department, and cooked the intelligence. I think getting back to the big lie, you know, there was no weapons of mass destruction, and that's what they sold Congress and the American people on, and I think we need to redirect, go after Bush. To hell with all these goofballs in Congress, you know. I wouldn't even feed it, you know. I'm getting rid of my cable TV, period, altogether. I'm not going to feed it anymore. Hello?
I'm right here. Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean. I'm not gonna let this media, and I'm tired of them dictating to me what the conversation's gonna be, what our focus should be, who our candidates are gonna be. I'm fed up with
crap. Yeah, today, Phil, they were flipping out over an edit in a John Edwards campaign DVD that was sent out to voters in Iowa.
You know what? Said that, turn your damn televisions off, people. Stop feeding the damn thing. If you stop feeding it, you know, it ain't as strong.
Well, that's true. You know,
turn
you
off know, the TV it, and tune it, into the horn.
Yeah. I mean, just live that old John Prine song. Blow up your TV.
It's
eat a lot of peaches.
it's amazing, Bob. You know, and with the where the hell is the outrage? You know, I have a feeling. You know, I don't know how long it's going to be before these troops on their fourth tours coming home and not getting, you know, eventually they're going to have to say, hey, this is bullshit, you know, but oops, I'm sorry, you know, this is crap. Yeah. And it's going to, I think it's going, they're going to have to join in saying enough.
Well, aren't they, to a certain extent, aren't they already? I mean, you're closer to this issue than I am, Phil. You know, isn't that what the petition for redress of grievances is about?
Yes.
But and aren't more and more and more, aren't more and more and more active duty soldiers signing on to that every day?
Yes, they are. And the recruiters are in the schools. A lot of these kids weren't even teenagers when 9/11 happened. And, you know, these are 17, 18-year-old minds that are gullible, and they're going over there, and they're killing and being killed, and they don't know any different. You know, my understanding is after Vietnam, twice as many Vietnam veterans took their own lives than perished in the Vietnam War. You know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you're not mature yet. And then you come back. I'm not a Vietnam veteran, so I can't speak from personal experience, but I do know from being on the planet, as I get older, I understand life a little different. You know, and that's when all this stuff starts happening to these poor guys. They're going to come back and realize it was all BS, and you know, and they're haunted by what they did or had done to them, and it stinks that this thing's happening all over again. And you know, a lot of those Vietnam vets weren't treated well by the government as well after they were used and abused. You know,
have you seen the David Obie video?
Yes, I did, and I want to understand that better. I do know that what's her name, the woman who's a military mom, I believe, posted something on afterdowningstreet.org today. I just haven't been to read it. But I didn't totally understand what he was saying about the bill is designed to end the war. I want to take some time and try to understand that better. He wasn't too nice to the woman.
No, I think he was incredibly frustrated with her because she wants it over now like we want it over now.
Yes.
And the crux of his frustration was his repeated statement to her of, we don't have the votes.
Yes.
We don't have the votes.
Yes. That's
now,
true.
He sort of made it sound like to me, Phil, that he wants it over now.
Yes.
But he doesn't have the votes to defund it. Okay, well, it seems to me that if we take him at his word,
yes,
that it becomes the job of the American people to get him the votes.
Yes, and that's been the missing link to this very day. The American people are disengaged. There's a denial and willful ignorance because American people are fat, selfish, and lazy.
But Phil, at this point, the last I saw, maybe I'm wrong by a few percentage points, margin of error, whatever. The last I saw, 70% of the American people think it was a mistake to start the war, and 70% of the American people want the war over.
How much of that 70% are going to take it further than answering the survey question? That's my point, Bob. How many of those 70% are actually calling their congressman, actually spending an hour a week, demonstrating on the in town? How many are actually risking awkwardness or being ostracized at their local golf club or VFW post or church group by actually coming out and having discussions with their contemporaries about this issue. That's the problem, Bob. I'd venture to guess a very small percentage of that 70%. They want the war over, but they want someone else to do the work to bring it to an end. And that's the missing link. It's the people are not taking it any further than answering the question, yeah, I want this war over. Yeah, you know, they lied, you know, it should be over. It's a mistake. Bring them home now. And they end right there. They don't take it any further. This is work, man. This is, I mean, and there's a lot of work because we're really up against a big, big power that's been gaining strength over the years. That's this elite group that owns the Republican Party and owns the media, owns the people in the Democratic Party that are in power. I mean, we're up against it, but we're the only hope that these soldiers have is we the people. And that's, we the people have to do more than answer a survey question and leave it at there.
Phil, that is a mighty sobering thought.
Yes.
It is a mighty sobering thought when you realize that the only hope our soldiers have are people who are more willing to vote for American Idol than they are to vote for president.
Isn't that something? So those of us who are in the know and are already, we're the ones without the money and we're the ones that are spending money we don't have and time we don't have and waking up every morning sick knowing that these criminals are still in office and that people are dying and getting killed for a lie and that the Congress isn't doing a daggone thing and they probably will never have the votes, you know, if the people stay disengaged as they are. It is so easy. You know, we had our demonstration last night, and, you know, same old thing, six people out there, but we handed out our flyers and our DVDs, and it's bike week down here in Daytona Beach. And, you know, it frustrates me to see a lot of these Vietnam vets. Again, I'm not a Vietnam vet, so I can't speak to it as one who's been there. But you know, these guys were screwed, and to see them back up this Bush, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's just too much hurt for them to actually take it on. I don't know. And it's easier to just say, hey, what's going on is the, you know what I mean? I don't know. I can't speak to it as somebody who's been through it. But there's a lot of knuckleheads, and it's so much easier to say, you know, you're wrong. You out there protesting, you know, support the country, and as it would be for them, the willful ignorance is don't give me the facts, you know, because I might learn that this crap, all this stuff is a lie, and then I have to do something about it. It's easier.
Once you know the truth, you become responsible.
And this country does not want to know. And that's selfishness. And I'm thinking about a bumper sticker. Willful ignorance is unpatriotic. You know. Something like that.
Hey, Phil, we got to roll on, but it's so good. It's so good to hear from you. Thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing from you again.
Same here, Bob. And the horn, it's the best. It's the best in progressive, liberal, conversational, or just real, honest to God, American, talking to American radio. Thank you.
Thank you very, very kindly. I appreciate the kind words. We all do. Take care. Let's take a break. Coming back to your phone calls, and straight to your phone calls. If you're on hold, please hang with us, and we'll be right back to you. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's Liberal Voice. We are all, we'll be right back.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take reminds me of just how
the Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the President's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the President is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
It isn't quite so funny anymore. This is Head On. We go, as promised, straight to the phones. Dave is calling from Wisconsin. Thanks for calling, Dave.
Hey, you know, you told me to, you know, let you have a heads up when there was a new Echoes program on unreportednews.net.
Yes.
And it's there.
Wonderful.
And it's in relation to, actually, this week and next week, it to a certain extent, it's in relation to baseball spring training cranking up. But this week, the main focus of the program is on Jackie Robinson. And next week on Satchel Paige. Now, there's a couple of names out of the past that...
Indeed. And you know, the Jackie Robinson story remains inspiring and heroic to this day. The Satchel Paige, I'm looking forward to, simply because that man was a baseball sage on or above a par with Casey Stengel.
Uh-huh. And the main bodies of both of the programs, there was a radio series in the late 40s in Chicago on the old WMAQ, the NBC radio station that was there, called Destination Freedom. And it was a series of dramatizations of black history. And the and I took a couple of episodes of that series, one on Robinson, one on Page, and incorporated them into the program. And it's rather interesting. One of the actors in the one on Jackie Robinson happens to be Studs Terkel.
Really?
And rather ironic, considering that he's identifying himself in the drama as a Dodgers fan, which last time I checked, I don't think Studs was, but being from Chicago.
Right.
But there's also that interesting bit to check out. And that's up on unreportednews.net now. Just go there and go to the reporters columns, and you see something saying King David's Echoes. Just click on that, and the next page will take you directly to the program, and it should play automatically.
Wonderful, wonderful. You're doing some great work there. Not just Dave, King David McKenzie, man. You're a personality.
Well,
don't sell yourself. Don't sell yourself short.
Well, I think I'm going to have to explain. I got that nickname King David in high school, kind of a backhanded kind of a thing, because I was a royal pain in high school, and but I decided to hang on to the nickname just to see who doesn't pick up on the gag and therefore get upset about it.
Well, it certainly sets you apart from the crowd. You don't get a good nickname like that just every day.
At least not in that manner, no.
Yeah, most of the nicknames I've got aren't fit for radio consumption, so, be glad you've got one that is.
Yeah. Well, I do what I can with what I got. That's all we can do, huh?
Well, indeed. Well, thank you very kindly for updating us, and I'll be going over and checking those out, because I am a baseball fan, and it is the rites of spring, and I tell you, I laughed. I don't know if you caught this or not, but I laughed so hard the other night. They did a piece on the ongoing steroid human growth hormone thing, scandal in baseball, on The Daily Show.
Right.
And they photoshopped a picture of Barry Bonds saying that human growth hormone had caused him to become a cyclops. and so it was precious. I know you can't do visuals on the radio or anything, but the photograph of Barry Bonds sitting there on the bench in the dugout with one great big eye in the middle of his forehead was just not to be missed.
Unless if you're a Giants fan.
Well, I think Giants fans are about done with him too.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can barely run to first base. Quit. He's my age. Quit. But he's gonna hang on until he gets Hank Aaron's record, and doggone it, that just bothers me, because Hank was such a class act. And
well, it might be entirely possible that he'll wind up being Satchel Paige's age before he catches up with the record, the way things are going.
Yeah, yanks another hammy. Dave, take it easy, all right? Have a great weekend.
All right, survive the week. See you.
All right, bye now. And let's see, we'll roll on and go to our good buddy Luke calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Hey, and Bob. I think on that subject you were just talking about, I think when they get within about 10 home runs, every pitcher in the major leagues is going to start rolling the ball into him.
make him bring a 9-iron to the plate.
Yeah, say, get the woods out. Let's see if you can hit it from there.
Oh, he spliced one.
You were talking a while ago, though. I was sitting there going, you were talking about, what was the guy?
Gingrey.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was sitting there going, you didn't get it, did you? Brother Martin and Ned Beatty are not role models.
What we have here is failure to communicate.
I'm sitting there going, you've been watching too many Dukes of Hazzard. Boss Hogg is not the ideal.
Nobody told him that was not to be taken seriously.
Oh, God, but I tell you what.
That's the way it is with this whole gang, though, Luke, because like I said, I've said it a million times, I maintain that these people watched Dr. Strangelove and didn't understand it was comedy.
Yeah, well, I said they took notes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I tell you what, though. I think I sent an email on this today. Did you see the thing from Huffington Post? This is CNN with a question mark at the end of it.
Yeah, oh my God.
Talking about, until somebody, sometimes lays it out in the timeline, you didn't realize it, and they're sitting there going, folks, these are the last four new commentators on CNN. Bill Bennett, J.C. Watt, Glenn Beck, and, drumroll, our newest commentator, the Bug Man, Tom DeLay.
Yeah, where does it end? Are they going to...
Oh, God.
Dig up Nixon and Reagan and just sort of prop them.
I was going to say, I guess we're going to get the Ouija board out now and start having the seances. Oh, God, I'm sitting there thinking of this, and I'm going, yeah, that's true. It's like, it's like, guys, CNN said, is this the thing now? We're going to outfox Fox? Of course, with CNN's wonderful timing, they're picking it at the time when Fox is going down the toilet.
and they'll follow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, guys, this is not the role model.
Although there is good news out there. I don't know if you've seen this. Apparently, John Edwards led the way.
Oh,
was announced yesterday that he wouldn't participate in the Fox News ambush of Nevada debate.
Well, my question on that was...
Well, it's dead now.
Well, I know, but my question on that, though, where was Barack coming out there? Where was Barack staying since it was Fox? He wasn't going to appear, remember? You know, Barack had them on his appearance list, I thought.
Well, that's true. That's true. But now the news is out that the Nevada Democratic Party has announced that they are not going to participate in a Fox News-sponsored presidential debate in August.
Yeah, but you know what that means? That means we're going to get to hear 3 or 4 weeks of, damn, liberal media was against us.
Oh no! It's already started. This is the quote from Fox News. Quote: "We have not received official word from the Nevada State Democratic Party disclosing a change in debate plans. Rumors are being circulated, and if true, news organizations will want to think twice before getting involved in the Nevada Democratic Caucus, which appears to be controlled by radical fringe out-of-state interest groups, not the Nevada Democratic Party."
Well, did you see this whole thing?
This makes you want to cry.
Oh, I know. But I see, we knew that was the way we were going to be played the minute we saw it. You know what I mean? You could already smell that coming. But have you seen the thing I've been loving is... I tell you, the person that I see every once in a while on CNN is Richard Land of the Southern Baptist, and I'm sitting there going, isn't it amazing though when it was something on Mitt Romney's religion, it was on 24/7, but Richard Land comes out and says, you know, don't see how the Southern Baptist can support Rudy.
Julie, yeah,
it's virtually, you're sitting there looking around going, I can't find it anywhere else. Why isn't it somewhere else? I mean, when the head of probably one of the bigger in numbers religious groups comes out and says this, you're sitting there going, "Why isn't this in this on the front page?" You know, everybody, because we've said before, everybody, you know, nothing can be said bad about St. Rudy.
No, and never has heard a discouraging word.
I don't know. Well, you know,
and he's moving in a new mistress today.
But you know, you were talking a minute ago about the Obey David Obey thing, and I tell you what, as much as we're getting shoved down our throat the presidential thing, in 2 years the more important thing is how many House and Senate members can we get from Republican to Democrat. You know, we need that 60 something members of the Senate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that should be our important thing, is pushing for that, you know, because like I say, until you get that 61 members or whatever it is, that's the way this is going to be. Because, I mean, and I'll be honest, I don't think we shouldn't pull the nuclear option, but, you know, I mean, that's about the only way you're going to get around that. Is, you know, it's like I say, either that or you're going to have to get the 60 plus members. But like I say, I think if in this next 2 years, if we don't push it, this is going to be our best chance. Because, like I say, with all this, with Iraq and all this, I think this is going to be the best chance for us to get that kind of numbers. So, you know, I mean, that is as important as the presidential thing is, and I think we'll do okay in there. We need to start, you know, picking the people in the House and picking the people in the Senate that need to be running. Get them lined up and get them started now. Because, like I say, you know, like I say, what is it now, 19 months?
And it's going to go by, well, in some ways, Luke, it's going to go by in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
In others, it's going to seem like an interminable march.
But you know what I'm saying, though, is and not maybe not as much us, but we need to be pushing the parties, our party, to say, you know, have you already got somebody picked to run, you know, against the such and such Republican? We need to have somebody lined up, get ready. We don't need to do this at the last minute. You know, have you all picked around, seen who's out there, who's interested? You know, let's get somebody up there and start talking about it, because we don't want it to be, you know, well, we've got 3 days till filing day. You know, who wants to run?
Well, you know? there's a great way to go about that. There were unfunded races out there that could have been winners. The second congressional district in West Virginia was particularly could have been Mike Callahan's, but he wasn't adequately supported by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, all over the country.
Well, that whole problem we had with Mr. Emanuel, it's like, Mr. Emanuel, you do understand there are moderates and there are liberals in our party. Can you say liberal? Come on.
You know, I hope to goodness Tony Trupiano will run again up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And Nancy Skinner, and, you know,
our good friend Sam Simpson in Florida. All of these people.
Oh, I heard a good one today. When I was coming home, I was listening to NPR, and you know, they were doing their Friday night things. They had EJ Dionne was on, and he had a line in there that I thought was just tremendous. And they were talking about the whole thing with Irving and the trial, and they were talking. He said, you know, I said, we wish they'd spent as much time planning the Iraq War as they did smearing Joe and Valerie Wilson.
Ooh, maybe that's the problem. Everything went into slurring them, and
because, you know, I mean, that's one thing we found out about this whole thing with Darth Chaney is, like, say, that apparently just ate him up, and it's like, you have more things to do than this, Dick. You know, you remember that old oath you? Well, we know.
Yeah, we paid. Yeah, we're paying you to do a job, whether we want you to be doing it or not.
Oh God. Well, and the other thing I think is going to be hitting the fan for the next week is, well, let's see now. What was it, 92? Don't worry. If you pass this Patriot Act, we won't misuse these powers.
Oh, I know.
And you know, we had a thing, what was it, 2 weeks ago, where they were calling everything from domestic violence and everything as terrorism. And today I saw the thing I loved on this thing was they're sitting there going, well, we found all these different, you know, badly done and all this, but of course we didn't find any instances of anybody misusing it. And I'm sitting there going, all these cases, and you're telling me you didn't have one case where somebody didn't say, well, I can't get anything.
Well, you can't find when you don't look, Luke.
I know. But I just saw that, and I'm just sitting there going, you know, when I was born, it was dark, but it wasn't last night, you know?
Yeah, right. Precisely.
So, oh God, I tell you what.
You think it's going to carry over into next week, Luke? I think, you know, I think this was the Friday news dump.
Well, it was, but it probably was. But at the same time, I think this thing with the IG the Inspector General's thing. I think this now, since they have subpoena power, that you're going to get Waxman. And like I say, I think Henry Waxman's probably one of the best congressmen there is, because like I say, he's a bulldog. He will not let go on something like this. I wish all of them were like Henry Waxman on that fact.
Well, and of course, did you see his correspondence with Patrick Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
He said, "I realize you can't divulge, you know, grand jury testimony, but you also recognize that Congress has a right to know in this." So, you know, it looks to me like Henry Waxman's going to start the process of a congressional dig in to the evidence that was developed.
Well, the thing that I was talking to somebody at my work the other day, and I said, just remember the other thing is now, depending on how this goes, if Joe and Valerie Wilson wind up in civil court, I'd put me a chair there at the desk and say, "Mr. Fitzgerald, come up here and sit down. Take notes."
Yeah, no kidding. Although he says, you know, he's at the...
Come on.
Yeah, he doesn't... He's not like Ken Starr. He's not going to go and... he says he's not going to go and try to get his commission re-extended.
No. But at the same time...
He says he's done.
I know, but I'd say, come on up here and take notes. You'll see if there's... If you hear anything, you just might just kind of be curious about. You know, when we're deposing Mr. Cheney, and we're deposing, you know, because like I say, Cheney's going to be there, and I have a feeling somewhere down the line, the stupid guy may have to make an appearance too. Because like I say, some of this involved both of them. You know, I mean, they can keep crying it didn't, but it did. You know, and it's like I say, it's just going to be fun to watch the lineup. Everybody's going to be, I've got to leave the country right now.
I hear my mother calling from the grave. Yeah.
But,
hey, Luke, thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Hey, where do you think your Vols are going to wind up in the seedings?
Oh, well, like I said,
that hurt last night.
Well, the thing of it was, I didn't think they were going to make it back to make it to the overtime, and they did that. You know, then get to the overtime, then drop it. So I figure I'm figuring a 6, maybe a 5, depending on how the numbers go. You know what I mean? Because right now, unless LSU or somebody gets to the West, most of the teams coming out of the SEC are going to be in the East. You know what I mean? When you look at it, I mean, there's like 4 teams in the East that look like they're going for sure, but unless somebody wins out of the West, that's going to be kind of a crapshoot.
True, and well, LSU has been a notorious underachiever all season long. I don't think you see anything coming out of the West.
That's what I mean. Unless somebody from the West manages to take the title,
right?
That's the only way. Because like I say, you're looking at, you know, you're going to get Kentucky and Tennessee and Florida and Vanderbilt out of the East, and maybe Georgia,
and even Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss won the West, didn't they?
Well, oh, outright, yeah.
Yeah,
but the numbers over there, nobody was.
They're staying home.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Over there, nobody's doing well. I mean, you know, it's sort of like 500's winning in the West.
Yeah, Alabama imploded.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn, just watching. Yeah.
It's like saying,
all right, well,
LSU looks about the best chance out of the West.
This is the fun part of college basketball season, and we are easily amused.
Well, if we look at it this way. We figure most of the East will go to the NCAA, so most of the West will go to the NIT.
Yeah, you know, I've got a sneaking suspicion my beloved Mountaineers may wind up in the NIT.
I mean, you're all. I'm sorry about that last night, but I'm.
Well, you know, it just amazes me that you can have a 21 win season, you can beat a UCLA, you can beat Villanova, and you know, I'm listening to ESPN say, "Oh, they're not even on the bubble. They're just not going."
It's like say Sunday is going to be an interesting day just to see who all winds up going and not going, because like say. I figure you're going to have a whole handful of each way, a whole handful of people going, they're going, and the other handful going, they're not going.
Oh, I know. And I got a feeling it's going to be a sad day in Morgantown Sunday.
Oh,
Luke,
no.
Take it easy. Have
you
a good
too.
Weekend.
You too. Bye.
Enjoy the selection show. See ya. All right. Well, another hour gone. Jump right in. Got a couple of lines open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be back right after the news. I'm Bob.
And we'll also do it for all you people that weren't alive when this song was a hit.
It's called Come Monday. Heading up to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter, rock and roll. Honey, I didn't know that I didn't miss any soul. But come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept.
This is the Quality News Network. U.S. officials will join leaders from Syria, Iran, Saudi Arabia for an unprecedented conference in Baghdad tomorrow, aimed at stabilizing Iraq. Ruling Shiite party leaders today urged their neighbors and other ruling powers to join forces to help prevent an all-out civil war that they say could spread beyond the country's borders. The conference is being held as Shiites celebrate one of their most important religious holidays. 2.5 million pilgrims braved suicide bombers and snipers to attend a two-day celebration in Karbala. An Iraqi military official reports insurgent leader Abu Omar al-Baghdadi was arrested outside Baghdad today. Al-Baghdadi is the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq. And the Iraq judge who sent Saddam Hussein to the gallows has fled Iraq and asked for asylum in Britain. That's according to a news agency report from Al Jazeera. In South America, President Bush has signed an ethanol production agreement with Brazil's president. The agreement encourages increased production and development of ethanol for fuel that will help the environment and lessen dependence on oil. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez is countering President Bush's Latin American tour with one of his own. The left-wing leader visited Buenos Aires today, where he criticized the president and said Bush's troop was an attempt to confuse and divide Latin American countries. While President Bush is out of the country, his troop surge in Iraq is making news at home. The Associated Press is reporting the number of troops needed for the surge has more than doubled from the president's initial request in January. And a Justice Department report released today says the FBI underreports its use of the Patriot Act to spy on people in suspected terrorism cases. The report says the agency forces telecommunication and banking companies to turn over private information much more often than it admits. And a federal appeals court has overturned a long-standing handgun ban in Washington, D.C. The argument for defending the ban was that the Second Amendment right to bear arms only applied to militias. Potential Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich is admitting to having an extramarital affair while leading the impeachment proceedings against President Clinton for his affair with Monica Lewinsky. The former Speaker of the House made that revelation on James Dobbs' show, Focus on the Family.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
Meeting in Brussels, EU leaders have agreed on a number of measures to fight global warming, specifically pledging to cut carbon dioxide emissions 20% by the year 2020. More rain in California could mean more earthquakes. Scientists at the U.S. Geological Survey studied the relationships between large amounts of rainfall and the prevalence of earthquakes 5 months later on the San Andreas Fault. They say that the weight of the rainwater seeping into the ground causes the water table to rise. That puts stress on earthquake faults deep in the Earth's crust. The result? More earthquakes. Used oil from restaurant kitchens may soon be in your cosmetics. Researchers at Dowling College in New York have come up with a way to take used vegetable oil and recycle it fairly cheaply into cosmetics and soaps. Ford Motor Company will give bonuses to most of its workers despite posting a $12.7 billion loss last year. The company's trying to improve employee morale in the midst of downsizing. The U.S. unemployment rate dropped to 4.5% in February. Big losses of construction and factory jobs, however, held back overall payroll growth. And Forbes magazine's annual ranking of the wealthy says there are 946 billionaires in the world. Microsoft's Bill Gates tops that list. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.05. The Dow is up 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yes, indeed. Let's do some email. I got a little stack of email here. First of all, I knew I'd get myself in trouble. Marty writes in and says, from a Giants fan, no, we are not done with Barry. That said, I do wish he'd retired after last season. Just goes to show that when they're after you, they'll get you, especially if you don't kiss the ass of the sports media to their satisfaction. I can see some of that. I just kind of object to Barry because he's such a loathsome person. Or appears to be. Maybe that's a media creation too. Maybe it's all could very well all be wrestling, and I do recognize that. From our good friend Angie over at PBS blog, PBSblog.com. Seems the only thing these neo-Nazi cons are good at is not feeling bad about lying. They aren't any good at lying, just not feeling bad about it. Holding up the truth to these people is like holding up a cross to a vampire, which I'm sure you've noticed. They recoil in horror and grit their teeth. Dick Cheney makes noises like, "Rrr!" That's because they know the truth, and the "Rrr!" part was me. That's because they know the truth will be their undoing, which is all the more reason we have to keep calling them on their twisted non-truths and keep telling them they're despicable. Because they are despicable. The least we can do to help. Say, these guys are real believers in vaccinations, right? I bet we could get one of those big pharmaceutical companies to come up with something to cure terminal corruption. It's a match made in heaven, don't you think? Oh, I bet they'll be so pleased when they hear about it. Frankly, the entire Congress needs to be taken out of there and sent off to Switzerland or somewhere. Obviously, they aren't getting enough air. A few months in the Alps taking deep breaths might be just a ticket to clear those heads. And while they're gone, I have no doubt that any number of volunteer citizens would be glad to fill in for them. With clear heads, it would be no problem for them to stand up and tell the twits to shove it. What wouldn't you give to see that? I'd volunteer, Angie says. Great topics today. Same stuff that keeps my hair on fire. Synchronicity is way cool. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And, you know, but remember, it's not just the Congress. There are screwed up state legislatures all over this country. I happened to hear today that down here in the heart of Dixie, that the Alabama legislature no sooner sat down then it voted itself a raise. Dig this. I mean, man, talk about wanting to run for office. This is just a crappy little Alabama legislature down in Montgomery. I mean, these guys don't even work. I mean, some of them sit around and, you know, the right-wingers, they do things like crafting bills that say that any book that's got the word homosexual in it has to be pulled from any state-funded library, that kind of thing. But for the most part, they don't do anything. And they sat down and voted themselves a raise today. Now, bear in mind that, you know, they're not full-timers. They're not in constant session. They have jobs. The Alabama legislature sat down today and voted itself a raise from $36,000 a year. Yeah, that's what it was. They voted themselves a raise to $50,000 a year. Mother. $50,000. Nice work if you can get it. Meanwhile, you know, it's Alabama. Forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown. But that's not just Alabama. It happens all over the place. 50 large for being a member of the... Whoa. Now, the governor, Bob Riley, has said that he will veto the pay raise. But it was passed, I mean, because, you know, hogs know how to get both feet, you know, front feet, and sometimes both of the rear in the trough, as noted. He said he'd veto it, but they voted in favor of this thing in a veto-proof majority. So the people of the state of Alabama, and they did so without a roll call vote. So naturally, everybody can come out and say, nope, I didn't vote. Nope, I voted against it. Nope. $50,000 a year for being a member of a state legislature? That's pretty amazing. And email-wise, our good friend CB writes, was Murdoch being courted by the Clintons? Yes, he was. And the refusal to participate by Edwards, nice as it is, was a direct blow to Hillary's hopes for Murdoch's support. Chew on that a while. The Clintons have been sucking Murdoch's toes, visual, for all their worth. On no account do we vote for these people. What we do is diss them for all they're worth, all we're worth, and come up with an actually decent candidate. Yes, that is what we have to do. Next question. Who's the decent candidate? Any nominations? Now, again, just because I'm down here and I hear things down here, there's been some polling done, and among Democrats, Hillary leads Barack Obama 35% to 19% to John Edwards 9%. In a poll of likely Democratic voters in the state of Alabama. Over on the Repig side, it's Giuliani leading by 4 or 5 percentage points over McCain. Got a feeling old Mitt Romney's not going to play too well down here. These people have been... Well, never mind. And I'm not surprised by the numbers around the Hillary versus Barack Obama versus John Edwards. Need to get Dennis Kucinich down into the South. They need to hear his common sense down here, don't you think? But the question is whether or not the political candidates are going to treat, once again, and make a profound mistake in doing so, treat the South as a foregone conclusion. And if they do, guess what? You get 2004 all over again. Democrats and progressives, liberals, whatever we call ourselves, deserve to be paid attention to by our candidates. And we, in turn, must make our voices heard, whether we are liberals in Mississippi, liberals in Alabama, liberals in Louisiana, or liberals in more traditional so-called liberal strongholds like Massachusetts, New York, California, Illinois. It's about speaking up. You will get what you want if you are willing to tell them you want it. Or at least that's supposed to be the way that it works. Chime right in, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, if you spell on your keypad that way. I look forward to hearing from you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up, an ox beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High fire and a fire. Representatives have engaged in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the fury speeding down your neck. Keep my team reporters.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right. It's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to WaterUseItWisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This Friday evening is flying by. But we will go right to the phones. Our good friend Bob is calling in from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
I'm a little sad, a little depressed. I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I heard that thing. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know what it was. It was a tape deck, and I know it was. I heard its voice, and it just made me sad. But you know, there's a problem. There's a great problem across this globe. People are so wrapped up in their own little thing that they can't even stop to think for one moment. For one moment, about another human being, one that may need care or love or just the touch of a voice. Okay, mm-hmm. And you know, I'm talking about your dear, lovely wife, Agnes. I am talking about her. She needs, you know. Just that, you know. I mean, when I talk to her, it's nice. I enjoy her. She's like talking to my daughter. She really is. It's like talking to my own daughter. I mean, because, you know, she's a decent human being. She's tough as nails. And it's like, she's like old Gunny Bob, you know. And she's right there. And she's ready to fight. And she's fought for you. Oh my God, Bob. She has fought for you every step of the way. And so many other people on this planet need to know that that girl has more courage in her little toe than they got in all their humanity. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Agnes is your backbone. And you know it, like Glenda is mine. She gives me the reason that I get up in the morning, because, you know, they were talking about Vietnam vets, and everybody knows about Vietnam, except those that were there, right? Well, I was there, and I know what it was like. And I know, and I saw it, and I did it, and I lived it, and I walked the talk, and I talked the walk, and I did the whole dang yard thing. And I came home, and I could have put a gun to my head. There were many times that I thought, just forget it. There's nothing worth living for. And then I met Glenda. Then I met her. And then I had a reason to live, and I have never lived for another human being except for her. And now the humanity of Earth has to realize what those Iraqi boys, those Iraqi girls did when we invaded their country. We destroyed a nation, people. We, the United States of America, invaded a nation, a sovereign nation, and we destroyed it. And what is our obligation to those humans, those Iraqi humans that we destroyed? According to George Bush, we don't owe them nothing. We can just take from them. We can steal their oil. We can steal their gold. We can steal their humanity and try to turn them into what? George Bush world? Well, good God, girls and boys, we're living in George
well,
Bush
world. Well, they're succeeding, Bob, because I've got a story here in front of me. It's a real charmer, too. It turns out that the Iraqi government is getting ready to execute three women for a crime that they call acting against the public welfare. The women are 31, 25, and 26. At least one of them is a mother.
What is their crime?
Acting against the public welfare. They're accused.
What is their crime?
Well, apparently they're accused of killing an Iraqi police force member or two or three, although one of them apparently wasn't even in the country when it happened.
Well, that's about what happens here in the United States of America when people are charged with crimes they haven't committed. Like, what was that young man's name down there, Padilla or something like that? Okay.
Oh, Padilla, yeah. Can't find his interrogation tapes.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, you stop and think just for one moment, how many people have been charged with crimes that never happened? And, you know, a crime against a Iraqi police force official that is a George Bush wannabe? I don't know what they are over there. I have never been in Iraq. But I've been in other parts of this, on other parts of this planet. And I've always looked at the people that live there as, you know, someone that I should, you know, kind of learn to understand and then maybe accept, but always be on guard against. Now, the funny thing is, Bob, I'm coming to the point where I'm on guard against my own people, the United States. In the United, I mean, when I'm out in public, I'm on guard. I'm frightened at times by whom I may meet, and are they you know, liberal or are they conservative? Are they Republican or are they Democrat or are they something else? I'm always watching myself and trying to play their game. And today I just had enough. You know, I went in town and I did some business. And you know, when I was in there, I was talking to this gal, and I was paying my bill, and I was saying, I'm tired of looking at them damn yeller stickers on the back of your SUVs and the back of your cars, them ones that are made in China, but you all say, I support the troops, just like Nixon did, okay? You all say that, right? By your yellow sticker. But I said to her, I says, you know, when is the last time that you sent, did you ever send a check to the USO, Uniform Services Organization, and they do support the troops. So when is the last time that you sent a check to the USO? And they just look at me like some what was that thing, like George Bush when he was over there in China when he ran into the door and
when he couldn't find the door. That's exactly what I was thinking, Bob.
Yeah, a deer in the headlights, and it stands there until it gets hit by the damn car. And that's the problem with these people. They have no conscience, Bob. They have no humanity. They have no respect for humanity. That's why they can destroy other people in other nations without even regret, Bob. They don't regret their deeds. They do not regret what they've done, just like Newt Gingrich, the one that caused all this evil to I'm sorry. I must have. Oh, I've heard more clicks on this line tonight than I've heard in my lifetime. It's click, 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 click. Oh, hello, Agent Fred. I know you're listening. You know where this old gyrene lives? Do you know where I live? Come see.
Oh, he knows, Bob. He knows.
Oh, hey, I go over to the airbase all the time, and Agent Fred, he ain't even welcome there. He would have to have credentials to get on board, and I can go on board that base any day of the week. But guess what? What was that Mike Moy said? Huh? Guess what? I hate these people, and I hate you, Agent Fred, for your filth, for the filth you have done to the Constitution of the United States, a document that I swore an oath to more times than you were born, because you couldn't be born as many times as I raised my right hand and swore that I would uphold the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Domestic enemies, we have them in a multitude, and they are called Republicans, Bob. And that's a fact. And if you don't wake up, people, and realize that we are surrounded in our own nation, in the United States of America, by Republicans, by the name of George Bush, and Dick Cheney, and et al. Anyone that supports any one of those filthy, filthy Republicans are anti-American, and they are the agents that are trying to destroy our nation. And we must, if you have any courage, stand against it. Now I'm ranting again. There I go, Bob. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But you got to get it out of your system before the weekend.
Well, hey, yeah. Otherwise, I'll have to live with Glenda all weekend.
She don't need that, man.
No. Well, hey, I'd listen to her. Goodness gracious, I have some things to do this weekend that are, okay, we'll fancy this up.
All right. Hey, Bob, you do have a good weekend, all right?
You too, and to Agnes, rest, my dear. Take a break. Get the hell away from that damn radio and that.
Somebody's going to have to take her down with a dart gun, Bob.
Well, no, not a dart gun. Just tell her, hey, darling, I love you, and, hey, we're going to go out dancing. You know, take her out dancing or doing, go find one of them, honky-tonks and go out there and, do whatever you did when you first fell in love. I'm going to have to take Glenda to a laundromat. That's why I fell in love with her.
That's great. That's charming, Bob. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Love to you and Agnes and the kids, and hey, courage to the nation and strength to all, and get your backbone up. Get it up and don't let it down, because the only thing they can do is kill you. They can't eat you, because if they eat you, they're cannibals.
Well, there's that question, too. All right, Bob, take it easy.
Being a cannibal is against the law.
All right. Have a good weekend. Later, Bob. Good man. Mighty good man. And we keep rolling. Beverly calling from Mississippi. Hey, Beverly, welcome to the program.
Hi.
How are you? Thanks for waiting so long.
Thank you. I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about, change the subject from the Vietnam to some information that I've become privy to that, the public or you or someone might be interested regarding disaster help.
Okay.
I made a couple calls because myself and another lady was planning on going down to Mississippi to do some volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
So I had called the American Red Cross, the national headquarters, because I was interested in finding out how things are funded, and because I had talked to some people down there, and they indicated that the funds are coming in slow, and they are still in need, and what kind of help they're going to be still getting. One thing I want to just get out of the way, I did hear, and I heard someone mention it earlier when I was on hold, about the American Idol, which surprises me. Ryan Seacrest and Simon Cowell indicated that they were, you know, going to Africa to try to help them, and Randy Jackson was going to Louisiana to talk to them, and Paul Abdul was going to, I believe it was Mississippi. And on that, on April the 24th and 25th, when people call in to vote for their favorite, you know, idol, they're going to give them that opportunity to donate. My concern is, based on the information that I'm about to tell you, how do we know where that money is going? Because when I made a call between yesterday and today, made several calls. One was the American Red Cross headquarters, and a young man told me that he was informed that FEMA is no longer going to be providing money to the disaster area, in particular Mississippi, but he talked about all other areas. And I said, why? And he said, well, that was the information I got. Don't quote me. And I did get his name. So I ended up calling back because I wanted to make sure I heard him straight. He ended up transferring me to a young lady who said her name was Linda, and she was the director of that department. And she told me that they did get help in 2005, and they don't provide ongoing help, which also concerned me. And she indicated, try calling some of your churches, like Presbyterian Methodist or Salvation Army or the Red Cross, and if you need any help. I said, well, it wasn't me that needed help. I'm going down to volunteer, and was curious how monies are being funded. And I was pretty much upset, and I initially started calling companies in my local area to see how things are being funneled down there, and I called one of your big companies, Procter & Gamble, and the lady in consumer relations told me that they don't do per se funding, but they have two outsources that they send their money to, and I guess from those sources is where the money is funneled to the disaster areas, and one was the American Red Cross, and that's how I initially called the Red Cross, and the other one was American Second Harvest, which I don't know anything about. Another call that I had made, I called the American Red Cross, the regular number, I think it was 800-462-9029, because I'm thinking every time I call, I get somebody else, I'll try some other questions, and I ended up talking to a lady by the name of Jackie, and I asked her about monies going to disaster areas, and she said the way it works is that when monies is donated, they come to FEMA, which I guess there may be three or four or five different locations, which she wasn't at liberty to tell me. But when the money goes there, then they funnel it out to the different disaster areas. So I asked, if I send a donation in, how am I to know whether that money is going to that particular area? She said, if you notice on the check, or if you attach a letter, then it will go there. I said, so in other words, if people send money in to FEMA locations or any other organizations and don't indicate where they want it to go, for you, American Red Cross, what happens to that money? He told me that, well, if money comes in and nobody designates where it's supposed to go, then we apply it to our Cincinnati area chapter for local release, which makes me wonder if this is what's happening to monies when people are sending it in. Maybe they should designate where it's supposed to go. Otherwise, where's all this money going? So I was...
That makes eminently good sense. I think people should designate it.
Yes. So I was still curious. I thought I'd make some more calls and see what else I can get. I ended up getting a person named Angie who gave me her ID number, her operator number. And I asked her the same question, and she said that they only provide help for disaster areas for approximately 18 months. This is the information that she's getting. She said no money comes from the United States Treasury. She said, in fact, Katrina relief funds have been blocked. I make another call about 45 minutes later because I'm like, I'm on a good, I'm on a roll here. How many different ways can we go with this?
So, Beverly, wait a minute. They only provide disaster relief for approximately 18 months. That would mean that all Red Cross monies are drying up now.
Yes, but we know it's not. But this is what I was told. So I make another call, and a gentleman told me his name was Jesus. He gave me his operator number, and he said he was on the East Coast. And I said, "Where about on the East Coast?" "Well, why do you need to know?" I said, "I'm just curious, you know." And I said, "I'm curious because I want to know how the money is being funneled to the disaster area, because I have a group of people that wants to donate some money." He said, "According to the federal department, funds have been cut off." I said, "For where?" He said, "For Mississippi and Louisiana." I said, "You sure?" He says, "Well, it's been cut off at the moment." I said, "Why?" He said, "No more money, ma'am." That's exactly what he said to me. I'm getting so many different people telling me so many different things. Makes me wonder all the money that people are so-called sending to FEMA or disaster relief, if they're not indicating what they're sending it to or who they want to help, then where's the money come, and how is this money being tracked, and why are people indicating that they're not getting any money from the U.S. and FEMA is not per se somebody that has money. The way they get their money is by people sending in money, and if they don't designate where they want it to go, then I think that's an issue that somebody needs to check into.
This is just a mess.
It's a big mess. I mean, I just got all this information in 2 days. I'm serious, 2 days, maybe 2.5 days. I called the Mississippi Faith Coalition in Jackson, Mississippi. A young lady said, "The money that we get, ma'am, is from the World Relief in Massachusetts and World Vision in Seattle." I said, "Where do they get their money from?" "I don't know." I said, "So what do you do with the money that you get?" "Well, we use it to," what did she say, "for daycares." And I said, "Well, do you need any volunteers?" "Well, we only take in teenagers. We don't want older people." This is what Miss Jacqueline told me. I said, "Teenagers?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well, like students that are in college and want to come down for a spring break." I said, "So how are you justifying paying them?" "Well, we give them a stipend." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, I heard a rumor that you were partnership," which a friend told me, she saw it on the internet, "you were in partnership with Enterprise Corporation, Delta Hope Credit Union, the Foundation of Mid-South, Mississippi Mission, Mission Micro Enterprise." She said, "We're not affiliated with them. They're just other organizations." I said, "Oh, but if you call back tomorrow, we might need somebody to come down and volunteer." I said, "Well, on the internet, it says that you may need help in daycare, maybe assistance in office work." "Well, we don't need any help right now, ma'am. And the students that would come down, we only have an opening, a window, May to July." I said, "Well, how are students supposed to know this if the information that I'm getting off of the internet, you're saying is incorrect?" She said, "Well, you call back Monday?"
"When I'm not here?"
I'm serious. This is really a big concern with at least 4 different places that I've talked to, individuals, and I've gotten their names, telling me anywhere from, "We're not getting any help from the treasurer. We were informed that FEMA's no longer supporting this, or this is not an ongoing thing that we do." Now, let me back up. The Cincinnati chapter indicated, I said, "Well, are you helping them at all when people send money in?" "Well, yeah, a check just went out last week to Mississippi." So maybe if anyone's listening, they can see if a check did go out, and if it did, who was it payable to?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to do some auditing, some tracking or something, because there's an awful lot of money floating out there being either used by other means and a stipend. Give me a break.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bit of paper to me.
Well, it sounds like a con.
Yes.
But All of this may seem a little bit oblique, Beverly, but this all makes an abundance of sense. The reason that a state like Mississippi is having the problems it's having dealing with the recovery from Katrina is directly related to a story that I've got in front of me right now from today, from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature is meeting, and they're spending their time working on a new abortion law.
Abortion law.
Yeah. Now, my first inclination was the same thing you had, just a sort of a muted chuckle.
Yes.
But my heavenly days, the people are openly suffering day in and day out on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, the Louisiana Gulf Coast, and in Mississippi, where that suffering is so great.
Yes.
They have a legislature that cares so little about the people that they have time to work on abortion bills when children are going hungry, when children have died, when the suicide rate is at 200%, and they're working on an abortion bill. Talk about fiddling while Rome burned.
Is there any way anybody could look into and get it out to the public at least? Because I know there are people sending money. I know people are donating or sending funds somewhere, and these so-called organizations, not all of them, but if the shoe fits, is getting this money. What are they doing with it? And if you have to designate it, then let people know this, because I'm sure millions and millions of dollars have come in there. Where is channel, how it's being channeled, and how it's being given? In other words, it's like when I used to work for Procter & Gamble. If you say, I want to donate, you have so much taken out of your check, and if you just say so much United Way, it'll go anywhere. But if you designate a facility where you want it to go to, then it's supposed to go there.
Right.
But if I send it to one place, and you tell me that 90% is being sorted out to here, and that 90% of what? 90%
yeah.
of what's designated? Because obviously, if it's, from what the lady told me, if it doesn't have where it's supposed to go, then, hello, let's just...
Then it goes in the general fund.
That's right. That's not what...
Well, Beverly, you said, could somebody get it out there to the public? You know what? You just did.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope people start making more calls, and I hope people start tracking where their money is going to find out if the source where they're designated it to or think they're designated to actually is receiving it, because there is no reason, even if whatever cut back, cut down, slack up that FEMA or the government is doing, they should still be getting money. And I'd like to know if that check that the lady sent to Mississippi actually got there, or if it went to some organization, you know, surrounding it.
Yeah, exactly. Beverly, thank you so very, very much. I appreciate all that information, and thank you for sharing it with us.
You're quite welcome, sir. It's very nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you. I hope we'll talk again.
Good evening.
Bye now. Makes your head spin, doesn't it? But, you know, when profit is the motive ahead of recovery, what else do you expect? Let's go to Preston calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob. Thank you. As Beverly was speaking about some of her questions and frustrations with the Red Cross, I thought of ACORN. I actually sent them some money to their office in New Orleans, and I just looked at ACORN.org, their website, and I noticed that they have an office in Mississippi, and they also have a hurricane hotline. And I don't know if you're familiar with that group at all, but it's...
I should be. It seems like I... But refresh me, please.
Well, ACORN stands for Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. And it seems to be more on a grassroots level and involving labor and, you know, all sorts of minorities and people like that. And they do a lot of protesting and all kinds of good work, you know. And I'm sure, like any organization, it has its flaws and its, you know, not big enough and whatever.
And it takes money to run the organization itself. Yeah, I don't dispute or have no fight with any of that.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I don't know, maybe Beverly could use a group like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, but she might want to check it out. And also wanted to mention, as I was listening to Bob in North Dakota, he mentioned the USO. And, you know, I'm sure they do some really good work, as does the Red Cross. You know, these big organizations, they're a mix of positive and negative stuff. But mm-hmm. there's some smaller, you know, more grassroots veterans organizations that are doing very good work as well. And I was so happy to see one of them got on 60 Minutes a couple weekends ago. I don't know if you caught that, but that group that's doing the appeal for redress.
Yes, I did see that.
Wasn't that amazing?
That is incredible courage, Preston. Absolutely. I can't imagine the nerve and the courage that it takes to stand up and say that in the face of the military establishment that has been crafted and exists today.
Yep, for sure. And, I bet they said what a lot of troops were thinking, but were afraid to say themselves, and rightfully so. You know, sometimes they've got to worry about being treated poorly when they go back to battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a friend whose brother was in Iraq, and he was having a lot of problems with what he was being told to do. And they started doing things to him, like making him stay up for 2 and 3 days in a row. Sleep deprivation. Torture for own troops, from other troops, basically.
Mm.
You know, there's a real problem with the ideological representation regarding the officer corps. Throughout the military, the breakdown is like a third Republicans, a third Democrats, a third independents of various stripes. But in the officer corps, it's like 8-1 right wing to the rest of them. And I think there's a, you know, segregation of sorts going on there that needs to be broken down.
Right. And but now bear in mind, the officer corps is reportedly very, very right wing.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can necessarily say that about the non-coms, because they come from all walks of life. And they come from places that would make it very, very unlikely for them to be right-wing.
Yeah, okay. And then we can just imagine what the affiliation is of these private mercenaries.
Oh, there, I don't think there's a lot of doubt. You know, I mean, and some of these are even from outside the continental U.S. You've got Salvadoran old death squatters.
Mm-hmm.
You've got apartheid knee breakers from South Africa.
Yeah,
that make up this mercenary squad in Iraq.
You know, we probably have this sort of person who posts on those ugly websites like Stormfront and Free Republic.
Yeah,
and just read what the attitudes of these people are, and you know it's going to be ugly when they're well armed and have so little accountability. And frankly, that kind of goes with the CIA as well. I mean, I think it's been very important to see how the Libby trial has unfolded, and I don't think people should be mistreated for speaking out against pretext for a war. You know, at the same time, it's been kind of troubling to hear how uncritically progressives have been speaking about the CIA recently, you know, and how it's necessarily treasonous to out an agent, or how the CIA is protecting us all over the world and protecting us from WMDs. And
yeah, I have no misgivings about what the CIA is up to, Preston.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's not just the CIA agent. It's the network of real, live, living human beings, some of whom may have been paid operatives inside Iraq, who may have been subjected to God only knows what, because the administration outed Valerie Plame.
True.
You know, I think if you sign on for the CIA, you know what kind of duty you're signing on for. I mean, nobody thinks they sell ice cream.
Right. You know.
On the other hand, the people who work with them may not necessarily be in that situation.
Right. And you know what? I think the CIA, like the military, it's not monolithic. There are people of different political persuasions within the system. Maybe.
Well, look, Ray McGovern.
Right.
Is a former CIA analyst, and he doesn't exactly sound like a goose-stepping right-winger to me.
Right. Well, it's interesting. Lately, I've heard some right-wingers speaking very critically of the CIA for being too liberal, and people in the Pentagon being too liberal. I mean,
well, that yeah, but anything that doesn't go right along lockstep with them is too liberal. Hey, Preston, I do have to roll along. The phone's lit up toward the end of the show, and I hate it when that happens.
Sure thing.
Not that I hate having callers, but I hate running out of time for callers.
Sure thing. Well, nice catching up with you.
Good talking to you, Preston. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
All right. And Wayne. Hey, Wayne. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, Bob. Listen, I know there's not any time left. I just wanted to put in a plug for that Acorn Group.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really powerful. They work a lot with Good Jobs First and Greg LeRoy.
And I mean, oh, really?
Oh, man, they're really active, like in big inner cities with, you know, all these multimillionaire mega developers come in and, you know, they're going to put in, you know. And, I mean, these people work with city councils and governments and stuff, and they demand, you know, things for people like, you know, giant housing projects that, you know, a certain percentage of them be low income. And, you know, Walmart wants to come into a city. Okay, you could come in, but, you know, all your jobs have to pay a living wage. They have to provide, you know. They're really, really a good group. I mean, they're active in more things than, you know, just the Katrina thing and stuff. They're
right. And they're at acorn.org.
Yes. They're just wonderful people. And they
great.
You know, they're pretty savvy, man. They got a lot of good things going, you know. They know how to deal with these thugs. So, that's all I wanted to say, man. I know that, you know, you want to try to
all
get
right.
somebody else on. I don't know if you got time.
We're going to try to do it auctioneer style. Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, pal. Thank you. Bye.
Later. And George is calling. George, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Short time, but we'll do the best we can.
You know, I didn't realize what time it was when I called you. But I think I'll call you again next week and tell you what I was really going to tell you. But, hey, why won't Agnes just buy you a pair of jeans? That's just the commercial. Sorry, I don't know if that came out funny or not.
Yeah, it did. It took me a minute, but yeah.
Sorry.
Right. No,
but,
you know, and I hope people, you know, we run that thing a lot. I hope people will put that organization to use, because it is a great bunch of people doing tremendously good work. You know, the folks who make that clothing, it's American made, it's union made, and these are people who actually are stakeholders in their companies as employees, and among other things, it's price competitive with anything you can go out to the store and buy.
Well, I'm definitely going to try it,
and you don't have to burn gas to get there.
But every time I hear it, I think, I wish Agnes would just buy him a pair of jeans. I was like, she won't. But
thanks, George. We'll talk next week.
Okay, good. You take
all right.
Care. You take care, Bob.
Bye. Agnes, buy me a pair of jeans. That's it, everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks for the great week. Hope you have a great weekend. Agnes produced the show tonight. She's lovely. She's talented. She's my darling wife. John Fox engineered. Peter Godbold's our IT professional. Gene and Susan are our news ninjas, and they do a great job. We have wonderful moderators in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn. And let me say this. Guy James is actively raising funds, and there's a great offer out there from our friend Billy Shears to provide a Best of Guy disc that will be really cool and well produced to anybody who will just give 10 bucks a month. 60 people giving 10 bucks a month to Guy. Get out there and do it, please. Keep Guy on the air. All the programs on the Horn happen thanks to the hard work of thousands of members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream, and by supporting this network, saving the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all good.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
U.S. troop buildup in Iraq getting bigger. Why? Justice Department says FBI misused Patriot Act. House panel told of warnings about VA. Lawmakers are outraged. House Dems face uphill battle over Iraq. Gingrich admits affair during Clinton probe. Newt is a hypocrite. What would happen if Cheney quit? Russia chides U.S. over rights reports. EU leaders agree to cut greenhouse gases. Britain pushing for Security Council climate debate. If only the U.S. could join in. Guantanamo hearings to start under a cloud of secrecy. Sweden may spy on emails. Pope says much of TV and internet content destructive. The ethical dilemmas of robotics discussed. Can Christian Coalition aid the 08 campaign? Transpartisan Coalition calls for whistleblower hearings. Gates and Buffett top billionaires ranking. And priests to purify sight after Bush visit. Ooh, get the Lysol out. These and all the other issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.